Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 16, walking by the Spirit. Really want everyone to pay very careful attention to what I am going to be teaching today. Really important. We live in a world in which darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples. People are confused about many things, including some of the most basic things and including the most important things. For example, I did a Google search for what's the right way to live. It's pretty basic. What's the right way to live? And I found these gems of wisdom. A very simple, basic question. You would think everyone would know and agree on the right way to live, right? Okay. There is no right or wrong way to live. As long as it feels right and makes sense to a given extent, then it's right. Okay. The right way to live is to do what makes you happy. Okay, but what happens if what you're doing to make you happy makes a lot of other people unhappy? Others will impose responsibilities on you. Society will impose responsibilities. Even general circumstances will impose responsibilities on you. The right way to live is live for yourself. Okay? Let go of your ego. Study the teachings of great people like Rama and Buddha. Meditate on their teachings and sincerely follow each one of them. Someone came up with a list of 7 things to do in order to live the right way. Be generous. Stop being jealous of others. Be appreciative. Vow to get healthier. Eradicate a fear of failure. Stop bad-mouthing others. And 7, read to your children. Here's my answer to what's the right way to live. My answer is there is a right way to live, and there is only one right way to live, and that is by believing the good news, the gospel. Then transfer your loyalties to the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and then walk by the Spirit. That's my answer. Let me say it again. Believe the good news. The gospel. Transfer your loyalties to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Simple. Even if we know the right way to live, that doesn't mean we are able to live the right way. Even if we are saved, born again, have received a new godly nature, and the Holy Spirit of God is living in us, the flesh, the old nature, is still with us. And every day there is a conflict within us between the desire to live according to the flesh, the old nature, and the desire to live according to the new nature empowered by the Holy Spirit. Every day there's that conflict. So even if we know the right way to live, we don't always live the right way. The good news is that we can live the right way by walking by the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, the old nature. For the flesh, the old nature, desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, the old nature. Walk by the Spirit means live so that you are seeking God, close to God, aware of God, thinking about God, filled with the Spirit of God, so that He is guiding you, directing you, leading you, whispering in His still small voice to you. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh aren't limited to wanting things like too much food, too much alcohol or drugs, or involvement in sexual immorality. Those are some of the desires of the flesh. But the desires of the flesh also include bad attitudes, wrong thinking about truth, especially religious truth. The desires of the flesh, the old nature, cannot be overcome by mere human effort or strength of will or by trying to keep a list of rules. Do this, do that, do this, but don't do that, do this, 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 and this. Human effort and a list of rules. Strength of will. The desires of the old nature cannot become overcome in that way. The way to overcome the desire of the flesh is different. The way to overcome the desires of the flesh is by walking by the Spirit. If we walk by the Spirit so that we are seeking God, close to God, aware of God, thinking about God, the Spirit of God will empower our new nature, and we will have the ability to resist yielding to the desires of the flesh. So, how do we walk by the Spirit? First, we make absolutely sure that we are followers of Yeshua the Messiah. You must do that. You must end your part in the great rebellion against God. You must humble yourself and allow God to be God. We must turn to God and to God's ways and away from our own ways. When we do this, we are given that new godly nature. We are born again, receive a new godly nature. The Spirit of God is given to us and takes up residence in us and lives in us and dwells in us in a very special way. And He enables us to live the right way. Walk by the Spirit. Then, after we receive our new nature, and the Spirit of God is living in us, we walk by the Spirit on a moment-by-moment basis. Day-by-day, moment-by-moment. There are things we can do to help us walk by the Spirit, to facilitate walking by the Spirit. These things are called the spiritual disciplines. Rabbi Paul wrote to Timothy, "Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness." Discipline yourself. For physical training is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Discipline yourself. The Greek word translated discipline means to exercise, to train, to practice, to work out. From this Greek word, we get the words gymnastics or gymnasium. If we want our souls to be in peak spiritual condition, we train our souls like people at the gym train their bodies to be in peak physical condition. We put our souls into a daily training regimen by practicing these spiritual disciplines. We discipline ourselves to pray. Prayer, which is simply talking to God, does not come naturally to us. We have to train ourselves to talk to God throughout the day, from the moment we wake up in the morning until we go to sleep at night. We train ourselves to have a running conversation with the Creator throughout the day. We talk to Him about the things that concern us. We ask Him to meet our needs and the needs of others. We talk to Him about the things that interest us. We praise Him for who He is and what He has done, is doing, and will do. We thank Him for the many things He has done, is doing, will do. We discipline ourselves to talk to God throughout the day. We discipline ourselves to take in the Word of God. Each day, hopefully toward the very beginning of the day, we read the Bible, even if it's just a little bit. We meditate on God's Word throughout the day, thinking about it over and over, applying the Word of God to the various decisions that we need to make that day. On Shabbat, we discipline ourselves to join the members of our faith community and hear the Word of God being taught by qualified, God-ordained teachers. We discipline ourselves to take in God's Word. We discipline ourselves to be actively involved in Messiah's community. Not just come regularly to the worship service, that's good, but come regularly and also do something to serve in some way in the community. Really important. We discipline ourselves to bring the good news to those outside the community of salvation. We learn how to initiate conversations about God and the way of salvation. We look for opportunities to tell others about God and salvation. We make opportunities happen. We discipline ourselves to do this. Practicing these spiritual disciplines help us walk by the Spirit. And the law of sowing and reaping applies. The more we sow, the more we reap. The more time and effort and consistency we put into practicing these spiritual disciplines, the better able we can walk by the Spirit. Does that make sense? In each child of God, there is a conflict between the desires of the flesh, the old nature, and the desires of the Spirit. The more we nurture, cultivate, practice the spiritual disciplines, the more we will be able to walk by the Spirit and be victorious over the desires of the old nature. When we are walking by the Spirit, seeking God, aware of God, close to God, talking to God, each circumstance we encounter, the Spirit of God is right there. He's teaching us, guiding us, whispering to us in His still small voice, bringing the Word of God into focus so we know the right thing to say or do, and have the power to say or do the right thing. This is an entirely different and superior way of relating to God and living for God than following a list of rules, even if the list comes from the laws of the Sinai covenant. So Rabbi Paul adds, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. How can we tell if we are walking by the Spirit or living according to the flesh? It's easy to fool ourselves. Oh, yes, of course I'm living by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit. Well, Rabbi Paul gives us two lists to compare our lives to. A list of the acts of the flesh, and then a list of the fruits of the Spirit. So we compare our lives as honestly as we can to these two lists, and we ask ourselves, which list really characterizes the way I am living? Here is the first list. The acts of the flesh, the old nature. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. The acts of the flesh, the old nature, fall into three categories. First category is the misuse of sex and alcohol. And along with alcohol, I would include drugs, prescription drugs, marijuana, even though it's now legal in quite a few states. Along with sex and alcohol and drugs is sexual immorality, drunkenness, orgies, debauchery, impurity. Sexual immorality includes sex before marriage, sex outside of marriage. It includes sexual perversions like homosexuality, lesbianism, transgender anything, pornography. That's the first category. Second category that characterizes the acts of the flesh, the old nature, involves idolatry and witchcraft. Idolatry for us means any false religion. Witchcraft means anything related to the occult. So involvement in false religion and the occult is one of the desires of the old nature. The third category that characterizes the acts of the flesh involves unrighteous actions and bad attitudes towards other people. The inability to get along with others. It includes hatred, discord, dissension, factions. It includes fits of rage, giving into anger, and expressing it in damaging ways. It includes bad attitudes like jealousy, envy, selfish ambition, feeling resentment towards others because of their successes or advantages, wanting their successes or advantages for yourself. These three categories, giving into wrong physical pleasures, primarily sex, alcohol, and drugs, engaging in false religion and the occult, bad attitudes and actions towards others, characterize the flesh, the old nature. So how is your life stacking up to this list of the sins of the old nature? Are these things characteristic of your life? A bad tree produces bad fruit. This list helps us identify if we or others we're concerned about are producing bad fruit. If anyone who claims to be a Christian or a Messianic Jew and these things are in that person's life and characterize that person's life, then we can be certain that they are not saved. Those who live like this, Rabbi Paul writes, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, all of us will struggle with the desires of the old nature. All of us. And on occasion, we may give in to one or more of those desires. That does not mean that we aren't saved and will not inherit the kingdom of God. Rabbi Paul is describing an individual whose life is characterized by these things. He frequently gives into sexual immorality and the abuse of drugs and alcohol. He frequently is engaging in false religion and the occult. He frequently is yielding to hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. A bad tree produces bad fruit. You shall know them by their fruits. A good tree produces good fruit. Paul gave us another list to help us identify if we are walking by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, what the Spirit produces in those who truly have the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When we are walking by the Spirit, these good fruits, these good results, will characterize our lives. And I will go into each one of them in detail right now. Love. The old nature is selfish. And the old nature can love, but its love tends to be selfish. Its love is usually limited to self or family, some friends. The Spirit produces in us a larger love, a selfless love, not just for ourselves and family and a few friends, but for all kinds of people. People who are different from us, people we don't particularly like. People who are unlovable. The Spirit creates in us the desire to love others, to help others, to care for others, to do good things for others, not just our limited small circle of those around us. Joy. It's hard for the old nature to be happy. Most people in this world are not happy. They are only happy if things are going well. And in this world, things going well usually does not last for a very long time. So most people tend not to be happy. The Spirit, however, produces in us a happiness that is different, a happiness that is not dependent on things going well, a happiness that is not dependent on circumstances. It's a deeper kind of happiness, a joy that comes from knowing that our sins are forgiven, that we are right with God, that we will live forever. Peace. The old nature lacks peace because it's in conflict primarily with God. It's at war with God, state of hostility with God. And often, the old nature is in conflict with other people. Hard for people to get along with other people. And frequently, the old nature is in conflict with itself. Inner conflict. The Spirit, however, produces peace in us because the conflict with God is over. We have a new desire to have peaceful relations with other people. And we have peace within ourselves, maybe even while experiencing trials, because we know that no matter what is happening, it is well with our souls. Patience. The old nature is impatient. It is not good at enduring opposition or suffering or setbacks. It is quick to judge, ready to lash out at others. However, the Spirit produces patience in us. We are better able to endure inconvenience, trials, challenges, hardships. We give more time and opportunity to others so they can change and improve. Kindness. The old nature can be cruel, thoughtless, inconsiderate. The Spirit working through our new nature produces kindness. We become more gentle, more gracious, more considerate, more aware of the needs and sensitivities of others. Goodness. Goodness is similar to love. It's the desire to do something beneficial for others. The old nature does not always know what is good and often limits its desire to do good to family and a few close friends. Goodness must be based on what is right and true and genuinely beneficial. You are not doing something good for someone else if what you are doing for them is harming them. For example, the father who thinks he is being good to his son by taking him to a prostitute for his first sexual experience is not doing something good for his son. However, the Spirit produces goodness in us, the desire to do good things, not just for those who are close to us, but for a much wider sphere of people. Faithfulness. The old nature is not faithful, not reliable, not trustworthy. People are not faithful to God, not faithful to others, not faithful to their word, not faithful to live according even to their own standards. God is faithful, and his Spirit living in us produces faithfulness. Faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to the Word of God, faithfulness to people, faithfulness to our Word. Gentleness. The old nature can be harsh and aggressive towards others. The Spirit working through our new nature produces gentleness in us, which is not to be confused with weakness. This is a gentleness that cooperates with God, a mildness that enables us to get along with other people. Treat them in a gentle way. Unless you have to be really tough sometimes, which on occasion you have to be. self-control. The old nature lacks self-control. It gives into temptation too readily. It yields to emotions like jealousy and anger too easily. The Spirit produces the ability to control what we say and how we say it, control our anger, control our behaviors like eating. We don't eat too much. Drinking, we don't drink too much. Smoking, we don't smoke too much. Spending our money, we don't spend too much. Controlling our sexual desires. Controlling the use of our time management. All part of self-control. If we are among those who will inherit the kingdom of God, these fruits produced by the Spirit will be evident in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we belong to Messiah, we should be making progress in our battle overcoming the desires of the old nature. Making progress. Rabbi Paul adds, those who belong to Messiah Yeshua have crucified the flesh, the old nature with its passions and desires. Killing the old nature and its desires is not a one-time event like some naive people will tell you. Killing the old nature and its desires is a lifelong battle. It is a lifelong conflict. But with God's grace, which will be sufficient for us as we mature, this is a conflict in which we will have more and more victories. Will become more and more like Yeshua. We will reflect more and more of the fruits of the Spirit, and we will resist more and more the desires of the old nature. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not give in to the desires of the old nature. This is the right way to live.